Of course, if you can't get to the zoo, you can go up to Stormont. Brian Rowan's on this line. Brian, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good morning.
It is an anniversary, Brian. It is an anniversary.
Is that what it is? It is
an anniversary of sorts. Up until you and Eamon Malley got hold of what was going on, and then it began to unravel. The mice began to get at it. Remind people who are listening to this programme what on earth I'm talking about.
Well, I think the best chance of a deal at Stormont was this time last year. That advanced draft agreement that had been developed in the talks at that time. And I don't think there will be a better opportunity or any better deal on offer, which is why I think, and it is why I'm writing at the moment, why I think there is no certainty that the Stormont political institutions will be restored. This time last year, I think we were very close to a deal. The line we hear from the DUP now, that they want the Assembly and the Executive restored now, that they would appoint ministers immediately, I think ignores the events of the past 2 years, suggests that period has been something of a blip. It is much more serious than that, Frank, to the point that the challenge now is proving that Stormont has a purpose and some worth, and that argument will not easily be won.
So a year ago, what went wrong when it looked like as if some threshold had been crossed, or at least the toes were on the threshold?
Well, the draft agreement of last February was a political compromise, not a win for Sinn Féin. Arlene Foster would have been First Minister. In the event of a resignation at the top of the executive, there would have been a longer period of time stretching into some months to resolve differences. So not the immediate collapse of the political institutions, which resulted from the resignation of the late Martin McGuinness as Deputy First Minister. There was a package on the languages issue, an Irish language bill, an Ulster Scots bill, and a composite respecting languages and diversity bill. What I said at the time would amount to 1.5 Irish language and 1.5 Ulster Scots acts. I don't see that offer changing. Marriage equality would have been progressed through a private members bill. And separately, Sinn Féin was in a negotiation with the Northern Ireland office on legacy. I think that will be a starting point if and when we get to another negotiation. And with Brexit and the RHI report, the events that we're expecting in the next period of time, I think the bar in terms of reaching agreement is likely to be higher. I think the real damage last February, Frank, was not the DUP walking away from that draft agreement at such a late stage, but denying there was an agreement. And that is why on February 20th last year, the full draft agreement text was leaked to my colleague Eamon Malley, along with email correspondence between the DUP and Sinn Féin on the subject of that draft agreement text. And that is another reason why I think another negotiation will be more difficult, and the bar might well be higher in terms of trying to make some agreement.
It's interesting you mentioned Eamon Malley, your colleague, and both of you writing on EamonMalley.com. But we interviewed Arlene Foster about this during the course of the months after all of this unraveled. And I just want to remind people of what Arlene Foster had to say after Eamon Malley had contributed to our programme.
Well, regrettably, I could hear what Eamon was saying, and of course, it's fantasy politics from his point of view. There was no agreement. There was no agreement in February. There were proposals that were about, and those proposals were judged by me and by our leadership team before we even put it to the party. Nothing was put to our party, and that's the fundamental flaw, of course, in Eamon's analysis, because nothing was ever put to our party, because I judged that the deal was not fair, nor was it balanced, nor was it sensible for the people of Northern Ireland. And when I say the people of Northern Ireland, I mean not just the unionists, but I mean all of the people of Northern Ireland. And so I say to Eamon, his credibility as a commentator is really on the edge here, because that is not what happened last February, and he should really stop and desist from peddling it, because it's not true.
Well, I don't expect you to speak for Eamon all the time, Brian. It's you today, but she was not happy.
Yes, and that has been Arlene Foster's position. But look at it this way, Frank. There is a lot of detail in the draft agreement text. For such misunderstanding, at such a late moment in that negotiation. There is email correspondence between the parties with the subject title, Draft Agreement Text. So this is not just an ordinary document with some ordinary run-of-the-mill proposals that emerge within a negotiation. Remember also that Theresa May and Leo Varadkar arrived at Stormont on Monday, February 12th. That doesn't happen unless something is happening. So the dotted line had not been signed, but the draft agreement had been progressed to a detailed text, and to the point where two governments and a number of the parties believed we were on the verge of an agreement.
The fact that you guys had the leaked agreement, did that play a part in the DUP being spooked?
No, because the draft agreement text, Frank, did not emerge until February 20th last year. I had reported across the Eamon Mali website from maybe 10 or 11 days earlier the ballpark of that negotiation and what was emerging within it. Remember also, Frank, that on February the 8th last year, an upbeat assessment of the negotiations appeared in the Belfast Telegraph. Where did that briefing come from? So I think we, when we look back on that period of February last year, I go back to the point I made a moment ago. There is a lot of detail in that draft agreement text for such a misunderstanding at such a late moment in that negotiation. I was in Parliament buildings on February 9th last year. There was a completely different feel to the place. The Secretary of State in the canteen with senior Northern Ireland office officials, the Irish government delegation there, Arling Foster there with DUP colleagues, pretty much every Sinn Féin MLA and many of their MPs in the Stormont canteen. Now, that was a place that had no political life, Frank, for months. So in this period, last year, there was a very different... There was a very different feel to things and a sense that that negotiation, in terms of substance, in terms of detail, in terms of the potential for an agreement, was in a much better place. There was also a separate conversation going on between Sinn Féin and the Northern Ireland office on the question of legacy, Frank, and that in the context of an overall agreement, there had been a negotiation that a consultation on the legacy matters would happen within 2 weeks of the formation of an executive. A controversial chapter on the proposed statute of limitations which emerged from the Defence Committee at Westminster had been removed from the consultation document at that stage, and there was a suggestion that funding for legacy inquests would be provided at $7 million a year over 5 years. Now, here we are a year on. There is still discussion going on about the legacy matter. There has been a consultation, but a number of sources who I've spoken to over the weekend and who have been in contact with the senior Northern Ireland office legacy official in recent times believe there is a possibility that there may need to be further discussions with the parties and possibly some further consultation with the public. Some see that now as kicking the can further down the road. But I think in terms of us getting back to the type of negotiation that was progressed to where it was last February, that's going to be a very difficult task, given all of the fallout from a year ago, given the fact that we don't yet have a settled position on Brexit, given the fact that there's a May Council election due, and given the fact that the RHI report is also due. So I think there's an assessment, Frank, that if there is going to be another serious conversation, another serious negotiation, another attempt to restore those political institutions, then the likelihood of that negotiation, I don't think people see it as being possible before very late into this year, which means we head towards 2020 with the political institutions still down.
Brian, thank you very much indeed. The analysis from Brian Rowan, 1 year on from the draft agreement that unravelled, if it was there at all. Interesting time 1 year ago. And, you know, a lot of people were expecting a lot of things to happen. And, of course, unravelling is certainly a relevant word. All right, that's Brian Rowan. You can read more about him on the Eamon Mali website, eamonmali.com.